Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
Coming up on NBA Today, I got two words for you, my friends. Devin Booker, how he joined the likes of Michael Jordan with his last two incredible performances. So we're all tied up at two. Who has the edge going into Game 5? Plus, speaking of incredible performances, I mean, James Harden, he did it again. So now that series is all tied up going back to Boston. Is he the key moving forward? And then tonight, must win for the Warriors. Chennai, she is back and has the adjustments that need to be made for the Dubs. We start right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank. Richard Jefferson, Malika Andrews, and she's back.
Hi, y'all. I miss
y'all. Shanae Agumake in the building. Don't worry, Kendrick Perkins, Adrian Wojnarowski, Ramona Shelburne, Mark Spears.
Don't touch me.
They will all be stopping by.
Let's go.
Are you ready, Rich?
I'm excited.
Where should we start today?
We just started the Phoenix Suns Denver Nuggets.
Let's go. Start with the
Good
Phoenix
job,
Suns
now you
and the Denver
you.
Nuggets. Because we were talking a couple of days ago, Richard, about how this was must-win time for the Phoenix Suns. And now all of a sudden they have come back into this series.
Kevin Durant has shown back up. I loved his attack in this game. He struggled to make shots early, and then he went downhill in game two.
What a pass.
Who do you think he is? So Kevin Love?
That is a
heck of a pass there. And then the second quarter here. Keep an eye on
what
this.
What a block.
Spills over into the stands, Chennai, and then Josh Okogie stays there, but look who has the ball. It's Suns owner Matt Ishbia.
Or to Jokic, a fan.
Jokic, a fan.
And to Mike Malone, a fan.
Correct.
Kerfuffle.
Your favorite
word. We'll call it a kerfuffle. Nikola Jokic assessed a tech for that, but stayed in the game. We'll keep it pushing to the third quarter here because the shot making was just insane in this game.
Right? I have never seen shot making like this back and forth. I'm going to say never seen. Very rarely do you see this. Devin Booker, 6-for-6. And when I expressed to you, every one of these shots was needed. I'm sorry for their karaoke on the left and right of me. I apologize, everyone.
It was beautiful. I don't know what you're talking about. But Devin Booker, he didn't actually make a shot, just attempted one in the fourth quarter. Didn't matter. His performance is a decoy when you have Kevin Durant on the outside.
Well, and that's what it is. Kevin Durant, in the way that he was playing off of Devin Booker, was so impressive. But look, Jokic, there's no answer for Jokic. He is the best center in the NBA. I'm sorry.
So then Jamal Murray, what were we saying about that tough shot making?
That's what he does. Jamal Murray, again, we saw it in the bubble. He had to miss two straight postseasons because of the ACL injury, but it looks like he is back and balling.
So then DeAndre Ayton on the floor in this one, Chennai, they would call it a jump ball, but watch. Does Jokic hold, is his arm held down here by DeAndre Ayton?
Yes, that was 100% a foul. You can't lift up with your left arm on the jump ball. We're not listening to Chennai right now.
Please don't.
She was going to waffle. Jokic is asking for it. He's like, I can't jump.
Well, he was saying that was a foul. They didn't call it as such. The Suns get the win. Jokic a little bit frustrated.
Huge effort, though. My goodness.
53 points from Nikola Jokic. Still, Phoenix walks away with the series all tied up as we head back to Denver. Let's take a listen to Devin Booker after the game.
Man, I'm just trying to win. You know, I always say, and it's something that I'll tell KD, like, throw that efficiency out the window. I don't care about that. Just keep going, you know, keep attacking, keep being aggressive. And, you know, if it's a product of, you know, just getting open shots and knocking them down, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. Just taking what the defense gives me, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to make a lot of the shots I take.
Devin Booker, I mean, he's gone supernova this postseason. That continued over the last two games. He led the Suns to a 2-2 series tie. He took 43 shots in games 3 and 4, missed just 9 of those, which is insane. He became the first player to score 35 points on 75% shooting in consecutive playoff games all time. And it's not every day, right, that a two-time MVP who has 53 points, 11 assists in a playoff game, that's a footnote to all of this. But Devin Booker is just doing something that I don't know. You just have to marvel at, Perk. So how impressed were you, Perk, by Booker last night?
How impressed was I? Were you too impressed? Not you, Shanae, but RJ and Malika, because I thought it was maybe the week before last or last Monday. Didn't y'all have me up there and y'all surprised me with a segment telling me about after Steph hit for 50
Richard receipts.
How I was wrong about y'all revisited my list, right, of because I had Devin Booker at number one. Mm-hmm. Well, Devin Booker right now is number one in transition points in the playoff, number one in isolation points, number one in points on drives, number one on points on pull-up and mid-range points. So my thing is, he has been the best player in the postseason, and he's shooting 61% from the field. But you know the most important thing that I love about Devin Booker, and he talked about it in his interview, how having Kevin Durant on the floor is such a luxury for him, and not taking what he has for his playing with KD for granted. And he's taking full advantage of the opportunity, being able to go one-on-one, not seeing double teams a lot, having another guy that's a real liable threat on the offensive end opens up things for D-Book. So I'm here for the apology before we start the show from Malik and RJ, because, you know, last week y'all were on y'all high horse about me not having Steph number one and having Devin Booker number one. So I'm here.
That's fine. That's fine. Is this Malika's one shot?
Camera four.
Can you zoom in a little bit?
Thanks, Director Kathy.
Kendrick Perkins, the reason why we had a problem is because you had De'Aaron Fox over Steph Curry. We didn't say anything about Devin Booker. You had De'Aaron Fox over Steph Curry gave him a 50 ball. That was the Richards receipts. Now we gonna come back to camera three or camera two.
Dibbox.
Janae, please bring us. Please bring us back on track here.
The reason why I didn't take any smoke was because I feel like I was the first one, at least mainstream, to say, "Hey, Devin Booker, this is your moment." Let's be real here, because when the playoffs started and we started seeing these numbers, a lot of the caveats were, oh, he's going up against the Clippers, who are deficient, particularly versus their stars. But let me talk about stars for a moment. We have teetered over this idea the last few years of whether Devin Booker is a superstar or not. This playoff run, it feels like a star is born in a big way. We've seen the numbers. He has 331 points so far, the most through a player's first 9 playoff games in a single postseason since 1990, Michael Jordan. What he's doing shooting the ball, I don't think we've seen it so efficiently done.
Right.
And so necessarily done.
It's just Michael Jordan.
It's just MJ. Shifting positions. Chris Paul is out now going to the point guard. Also playing on the other end. You have to put respect where respect is due, because a lot of people said KD is going to be the reason why they have to advance, you know, through his heroics. It's been Devin Booker.
Can I just say something about Devin Booker? Because we've been talking about this dude. And all he's only 26 years old. My man, he gets better every year. We've been talking about him since his rookie year. The last couple of years have been impressive, really starting in the bubble. But the fact that he is 26 years old, that's going to be a problem for y'all. I'm over here. For the people over there playing, that's going to be a problem for
y'all. You're not envious of those folks.
No.
Okay.
Not with those numbers.
So Booker, Jokic, they went back and forth on the floor. I can't believe that is not the only thing that we need to talk about in the A block. It was Jokic's interaction with Suns owner Matt Ishbia that had everyone talking right after the game. Jokic was assessed a technical foul for, quote, deliberately making contact with the Suns owner in the second quarter when attempting to grab the basketball from Ishbia's hands to start the next play. So take a listen to what Jokic had to say about the incident.
The fan put the hand on me first, so I thought the league's supposed to protect us or whatever, so, but maybe I'm wrong, so we will see.
Did you happen to know who the fan was?
He's a fan of, he's an, no, I know who he is, but he's a fan, isn't he? He's a
Phoenix Suns owner.
Sitting on the court, and he's a fan, isn't he?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he's a, So whoever it is, and he's a fan, he cannot influence the game by holding the ball.
I think it's crazy that Nicola got a technical foul in that situation. He's going to get the ball, and some fan is holding on to the ball like he wants to be a part of the game. Just give the ball up, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, they deemed Nicola doing something that was excessive, I guess, and they gave him the tech, but I still don't really understand it.
This thing, the fans, the honor of the Suns made any difference?
I don't give a shit. I mean, I really don't care.
Richard, I know you have some thoughts on what went down courtside.
Well, yeah, look, I agree. They called him a fan. But let's break this down, because we're going to have to talk about some things here. And look,
Are you going to bring me, Richard? Do you need help?
Because you're gonna work the iPad here. And look, I understand what they're going to talk about. He's just a fan, and technically he is just a fan. Trust me, the fan statement, that was a very strategic statement, because they wanted to, like, no, this is a fan. It doesn't matter who he is. But let's roll the tape. And this, I'm going to explain to you why Jokic did what he did and why Jokic always does this. Look, this ball is out on the Phoenix Suns. A Phoenix Suns player is all the way gone. So now Jokic, and everyone knows how elite his passing is, he wants to get that ball out quick and go because he has an advantage. He sees a fan holding a ball, and he's trying to get the ball because he has the advantage. The ball was the Denver Nuggets ball, so they had transitioned the other way. So when all of that stopped, that's when it became a problem. Because right now, the individuals here are stopping Jokic from getting out in transition.
Wow, what a flop.
Yeah, and I love the flop. I love the flop. Okogie is still nowhere to be found. Like, Jokic is trying to get the ball. This is what he always does. But let me just say, did you see something different today? Did you see something different?
No, I didn't. I saw him trying to get the ball so that he can go, because he's one of the best outlet passers in the game.
Yeah, and he had advantage. But this is what I want to bring up. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. A little known fact here. Ishbia played for Tom Izzo, right? So he's played with one of the great coaches. This is Josh Kroenke. He is the governor owner of the Denver Nuggets. He played at Mizzou. You know who he played for? Quinn Snyder. So we got Quinn Snyder coaching. We got Tom Izzo coaching. Same difference. What I think should happen is these two, little one-on-one.
Oh.
I think a little one-on-one between the two of these. Both of them play Division I basketball. I think that's the answer. Shout out Josh Kroenke. Happy birthday a couple days ago. But Matt Ishbia, this is what he had to say.
Well, this is what he said this morning, Richard. Great win for the Suns last night in an amazing series so far. That should be the only story. Suspending or fining anyone over last night's incident, it would not be right. I have a lot of respect for Jokic. Don't want to see anything like that. Excited for Game 5. Go Suns. So our senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski joins us now. And Woj, it doesn't appear that Ishbia would like any further action here against Jokic, but what is the league weighing?
Well, they'll talk to both parties today. I know they were getting ready to talk to Nikola Jokic in the next hour. They'll talk to Matt Ishbia. The sense that I had gotten in the last 24 hours is that nobody really expected maybe more than a fine for Nikola Jokic. I think certainly Matt Ishbia publicly saying that he, in his mind, the matter was resolved, that there should not be a suspension. I think that does weigh in it. You know, there's also another conversation that goes on between the two teams, where each side, you know, emails the league, front offices, general managers. And there's another conversation that kind of goes on concurrently with the public discussion. But I think right now there's a sense of maybe at the max this is a fine for Jokic, but the league will talk to both sides, and they have surprised us in the past. They've surprised us this season.
Right, exactly. I think of Draymond Green earlier this year. Let's bring it back onto the floor, because the Suns are back in this. The series is all tied up, but they've done it without Chris Paul. What's the latest on that front for the rest of this series?
Yeah, Chris Paul's not yet been ruled out for Tuesday night. I'm told it is still a real uphill battle for him to be back and ready that quickly with the groin injury. This is certainly a series being played at a really high level, really fast. And to try to come back with a groin injury, number one, re-injuring it, but two, just his mobility. He's got to be able to move on the court. It feels like there's still a ways to go for Chris Paul, but, you know, they got a better performance out of their bench. They bought more time now for him to try to get ready.
Yeah.
Originally, the thought was maybe this was a 7 to a 10 day injury. So we're about hitting 7 days. We'll see again how he progresses Still not a lot of optimism, though, for Game 5 Tuesday in Denver.
Well, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant have proven that they can keep the Suns team afloat, at least in the meantime. Not to mention Landry Shamet, a huge game in Game 4.
Holy
That game, I see what you did there.
Thank you.
That Game 5 is tomorrow night. Still to come, though, on NBA Today, James Harden and the Sixers, they even their series up. So hear what he had to say after his second game-winning shot of the series. I'm curious, do you think Perk is concerned about his Celtics?
Perk's always concerned about some.
Plus, Game 4, just over 6 hours away across the street. Can the Lakers take a commanding 3-1 lead? Chennai has the adjustments that Golden State needs to make. And friends, it's that time again. Pull out your phone. Chennai, I know you got two phones.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure to vote with both. Yeah. We're not going to. I was almost there. And then, which team is going to win the West? This is a difficult question. Could it be the Suns? Could it be the Nuggets? The Warriors? The Lakers? Let us know who you got on both of your phones, and we'll let you know the results later in the show. We'll be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank, rooted in communities big and small.
Warriors and Lakers even at one apiece. Big challenges for both teams. Oh, spin move, D'Angelo Russell. Unstoppable here. Thompson again, got it. What a start. James hits a three. Anthony Davis has been an absolute monster here in Game 3. James drives off the glass. It's good. He's playing like a Pope Bear right now. LA Lakers come back and have a dominant performance led by Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
So that was Game 3, and talk about a pendulum swing, as I am joined by a pair of senior writers, Ramona Shelburne and Mark Spears. Warriors, they win Game 2 in a blowout. The Lakers, they come back and win Game 3 in a blowout. Ramona, help me make sense of this. What is your biggest takeaway when you look at Game 3? Because it just seems like that shift, I'm having trouble making sense of it.
It was one of the strangest games that I think any of us have seen. I mean, LeBron James did not shoot the ball.
Right.
Until there was 8 minutes left in the second quarter.
Wild.
Not even a shot. And normally, if anybody else, you would say, okay, like, he's not being aggressive. What's going on in this game? But LeBron is so good at reading the game. And in this game, they had to get Anthony Davis going. All we talked about after the loss in Game 2 was get Anthony Davis going. Why does he fluctuate? Well, you have to feed the big man. Mm. You have to make a point of it. And LeBron was just feeding him play after play, getting him going. D'Angelo Russell had 11 points. So LeBron focused on defense, focused on rebounding. He had 6 assists in there. And then right when I was texting Dave McMenamin saying, is he ever going to shoot? Dave goes, yeah, he's going to get it going. It's 40-29. He's going to go. And he scored he's 10 points in the second quarter.
Right.
I mean, it was amazing the way LeBron orchestrated that and had the confidence to just sit back and let the game come to him and dictate and do what his team needed.
Yeah, and then Anthony Davis sort of became a one-man wrecking ball in all of this. But now they have to flip the page, the Warriors do, because this is a quick turnaround every other day. So what is Golden State focusing on here? What's their mentality coming into this one, Mark?
Get back to playoff focus and stay away from this preseason focus that they had the last game. Like, the turnovers this season have been awful, but they were really on a bad level. And then Steph said this the other day, they got to stop worrying about the referees.
Yeah.
You know, which might be tough for Draymond to rein that in, but
sure.
they're spending so much time worrying about the referees, worrying about the calls, 4 technicals. You can't get that in a playoff game. That's, you know, these games are going to be so nip and tuck. And you can't afford to give them four free throws and the ball. So how do the Warriors respond from here? This is a team that has done their best against adversity, especially in the Steve Kerr era. Anytime they've lost by more than 20 in the Steve Kerr era, they've come back and won by 10.
Yeah.
Steph, Clay, Draymond, they've been there with their backs against the wall before. Against the Kings, they went down 0-2, came back, won a game 7, lost a game, the Lakers came back. And I think they're going to try to use the same formula today and be a comeback kids again, and they have no choice.
Right.
Because if they don't win, it's over.
Yeah, you don't want to have the opportunity, give the Lakers the opportunity to take that commanding 3-1 lead. After the Lakers lost game 2, LeBron kind of had this look on his face. He was like, yep, bet. All right, that's what I'm looking for from Golden State. I want to get a little bit farther into that. Thank you both for tonight's Game 4 matchup as we bring in Shanae Agumake and her cheat sheet brought to you by BetMGM. What adjustments are you looking for from Golden State, Shanae?
Let's get to it. Thanks so much, you guys. I missed y'all. I love cheat sheet. And again, shout out to BetMGM. The playoffs, they're all about adjustments. I mean, each series is a chess match where teams strategize move by move. And you heard Steph Curry after the last game talking about this high level of playoff adjustments. So take a listen to this.
I mean, they made an adjustment in terms of their matchups to try to take away our pick and roll in the pocket, passing, that 4-on-3 advantage we have in the backside, and Draymond being in a sweet spot. Like, they obviously understand that's when we're at our best. So we'll make adjustments.
Yeah, you heard it straight from Steph. The Lakers' defense has responded well so far against Golden State. The Warriors are shooting just 49% in the paint in this series, which is tied for their lowest percentage in any series under Steve Kerr. That Lakers' defense has been real. Let me show you the implications of what the Lakers have been doing. In game 2, AD, his matchup is Draymond Green. He guarded him 33 times. And what happened in this blowout? All right, two very high IQ offensive players. It's hard to be effective if you're AD, a defensive captain in that position. So here's the adjustment. We switched the matchups. Now game 3, his primary matchup is not Draymond Green. He only guarded him 11 times compared to 33. It's Kevon Looney. It's Jamichael Green. And now he's able to rover and be a help defender. And watch all this space that he's able to cover. This is huge. Simple changes defensively have allowed AD to be his best self. And that Lakers defense is number one predictor of whether they win if they're able to be aggressive there. But here's what Golden State's answer might be. All right, here's the next adjustment. Go small. The Warriors' small ball lineup of Curry, Thompson, Green, Wiggins, and Poole has outscored the Lakers by 15 points in 9 minutes in this series. So that's the best point differential by any Warriors lineup so far in this series. So overall, there have been a game of chess. There has been adjustments. They might need the Golden State Warriors to play chase, go small, in game 4. Get it? You see what I'm
saying? I see what you did there. You're going to go chase. Ha. Well, are the Warriors going to be the team that comes out of the West? I want to know what you all think at home. Janae's getting out her phone. She's voting. Richard Jefferson, you're going to vote as well. But I am more interested in what the fans at home think. Who do you think is the team that is going to win this incredibly tight race in the Western Conference? NBA Today. I mean, Harden, he was the hero yet again in the Sixers' huge Game 4 win. So hear what Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla had to say about Boston's late game execution. Very interesting stuff. Plus, with the game on the line, who you got? Is it Steph? Is it LeBron? We took a fan poll and have the results in just a matter of minutes. And, ooh, baby, it's getting hot in South Beach. Can the Knicks even their series up? We hear from them ahead of what is being called the Knicks' biggest game in over a decade. I know Stephen A is going to be listening. NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Ooh, baby.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
There's power in the process. The determination and the discipline you build around it. As you try to break through, exceed expectations, and push forward.
We are a people of hope.
You change the future, you change the past.
The process leads us to this point, the playoffs.
Let's get nuts.
Where every possession and choice matters. Because the moment goes by in a flash.
James Harden, he has a thing for bounce back games. I mean, he went for 45 in game one against Boston. Some of it we're calling the best playoff game of his career. You know, game two, as Chiney would say. And then we got to see this. Did he have another one of those in his bag when the Sixers were down 2-1? Yes, he did.
To answer that question, look, he was an absolute monster. Both of these guys were just impressive. And we're going to jump to the fourth quarter, aren't we, Malika?
Yes, we are.
Because watch this. Embiid putting in work, spinning around. And you see right here, these guys are battling. P.J. Tucker, he got the and one. And
that's why they went and got him.
Yes,
Jeffrey
yes.
Evers with that shot,
watch,
by the way.
Look what he says to him.
He's like, you shoot the damn ball. I don't want that damn ball. You shoot it.
Embiid's like, I'm tired, man. I've been out for 2 weeks.
Greatness is tiresome.
Well, you know who was great? James Harden all game long. Whenever they needed a big bucket, it was James Harden.
You know, again, I was one of the people that game two, I was just like, but here.
Game two and game three.
If they're game two, game three, okay, yeah. But game four, he showed up. And look, James Harden, he's been special two of the four games.
So we're headed to overtime now in this one. 43 seconds to go. Jason
ball
Tatum.
Ball movement. Is it a foul?
Was it a push-off?
Yes, it was a push-off.
Are they going to call it on Jason Tatum?
No.
For the MVP voting?
But that's a push-off. That is 100% a push-off.
I don't know. Maxie's hands are on him first.
Well
it's look,
Boston up by two.
Here we go.
Joel Embiid going to work over smaller Tatum.
Jaylen Brown, why are you leaving the strong side corner against one of the greatest scorers in NBA history? Why are you leaving? I understand. He had his back.
Because they have three guys on Embiid every time.
That's true. But you don't leave that guy. That's not the guy you leave because you have no one there to help you or rotate.
So they had about 16 seconds left here. Now we're down to one. Dishes it out to Marcus Smart.
It's good, but
it doesn't count.
That wasn't good.
Like a second late.
Yeah.
We're not even that close.
I think the buzzer went off when he caught the ball.
Philadelphia gets the win, 116-115. Let's take a listen to James Harden after the game.
It was supposed to be a dribble handoff with me, but Jaylen Brown denied me, so I just gave Joel space. And Jaylen Brown helped, and Joel made a hell of a pass, an MVP pass. And I shoot that shot every day.
It's a bad read. That's it. It's a gamble at the wrong time, and big shot by James Harden, but that's my fault. You know, I take full accountability.
That's been us all season long. Just, you know, sticking together, fighting through anything, being down five with, 1 minute left, 2 minutes left. You know, that's huge for us. And we know we didn't play our best. And I was terrible tonight. I got to be better, and I will be better.
So you can see the greatness of this Philadelphia duo here. They combined to score 76 points, the most in a playoff game by a pair of 76ers teammates in postseason history. And when they're playing like this, Ramona, it really feels like they could go all the way. They could win a championship. But what is the likelihood that we can get this again and again in order for them to advance into the conference finals and then the finals?
I mean, are we doing a Philly talk show? Because that's what they talk about every day in Philly, right? Look, they had a film session after that game three that was not pretty. People got real in that film session. Tyrese Maxey, who's like the young kid, was trying to put it nicely afterwards. He was like, people said some things, but that needed to be said, and it was healthy for the relationship. And I was wondering how the team would go after that film session where people got pretty raw and real there. And to respond like that, I thought was a good, very good sign for the Sixers. I also thought that last play, Joel Embiid is dog tired at the end of this game. He didn't do anything for 2 weeks while he was out with that knee injury. You know, he did not have a good fourth quarter at all.
3 minutes earlier in that overtime, he had had the same play. He passed it to Harden, he missed. Now, you're the MVP. The ball comes to you. They triple team you, but you feel like you got to make that shot. He made the right play, passed it to James Harden again, and this time he makes it. That's a big moment in their relationship.
The trust. And what I really love is that it's kind of poetic, and the idea that earlier on this season, the big point that the Sixers were telling James Harden is, we need you to be good in catch and shooting the ball.
Yeah.
Catch and shoot. Harden is shooting 43% on catch and shoot threes this season, which is a high percentage for
him. He doesn't like to catch and shoot.
He doesn't like to. He's a rhythm shooter. He likes to take a dribble and then, you know, do that step back and get into it. And so this is what it's all about, commitment.
Yeah.
You know, committing to the team philosophy, understanding Joel Embiid, he's going to have to make that pass out, especially on strong side, and then just doing what your teammates trust you to do and knock down the shot. So I love how full circle the idea of, hey, buy into this, and look, it's delivered you a win.
Okay. Love everything you guys are saying. Big moment in the relationship. Joel Embiid is exhausted. Everything that you guys are saying is so, so true. Jaylen Brown, do not leave James Harden. That's all it is. At the end of the day, you don't leave. Like, he knows this. He said it. And
yeah,
respect
said,
to
my
him,
bad.
Taking the ownership in that moment. And that's where it's like your discipline. Either you win with it or you lose with it. You leave James Harden. You can leave almost anybody. Even if you leave P.J. Tucker there, you don't leave a three-point shooter when you're up by two in those seconds. He knows that. Everyone knows that. But that's it. Yeah. If he doesn't leave them, then yeah, we're not having this conversation right now. Maybe Joel Embiid hits two, then it's tied, then you go down, and it's
could
an overtime.
Could be an and-one because there's three guys on him.
That's
sure.
fair. He had nine guys on him all damn night. Yeah. But if you don't make that mistake, and that's what it is, at the end of the day, it doesn't there. Come down to that play, but those are the plays that we're all going to point to. We got a couple more we're going to point to.
Yeah, we're going to point to those in just a second. Perk, let me get your thoughts on the 76ers side here real quick.
You know what? I thought P.J. Tucker was the engine. I've been so impressed with P.J. and his leadership, like being a vocal leader. You see him getting on guys, and his impact is not going to show up in the box score, but what he's been doing on the floor, taking on challenges, just being the guy that just be all over the place causing havoc is enough. And him and James Harden are great friends. So I'm pretty sure that PJ holds James Harden accountable more than anybody else in that locker room. But the crazy thing is that people could really say that Joel Embiid didn't even play well, and he still had a 30-point double-double. And that's crazy, and that's scary for Boston because they should have left out of there with a win. But when it comes down to James Harden, I think what Doc did for sending him that gospel, I think it was a video or a gospel song or whatever, this is what Doc Rivers do. Doc Rivers is really great at motivating. Doc Rivers is really great at trying to do whatever it takes to get the best out of his players, even his superstars. And those were just one of his things that he did. And I don't know if it worked, but it seemed like it did. But anything can help to get one of your star players to play in the way that James Harden did last night.
So I don't want to take anything away from James Harden, but I do want to go back to the last play of overtime because you use the term poetic justice. And wasn't it poetic that earlier in the season we saw Joel Embiid with that full court heave that was after the buzzer, that it was too late, couldn't beat the Celtics. Now this time, Joe Mazzulla, he opted not to use either of his two timeouts. He spoke on that decision earlier today. Take a listen, Perk.
At the end of overtime, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I should have called it to help us get a 2-for-1 or get a couple more possessions. And so, you know, obviously with 14 seconds left down one, you want to get as many chances as you can. So, you know, I'll definitely learn from that.
Think.
Well, a little bit of time to reflect after his comments yesterday. He's been known, right, to let the Celtics play, figure it out, the course of action there. And then this season, the Celtics, they've run the third fewest possessions following a timeout. But when they actually do, they average the second most points per possession. So, Chiné, where did things go wrong for Boston on the final play?
Richard, are you good here?
I'm great because we've seen this from multiple coaches this year.
Yep.
And we sit up here and we are probably a little bit more lenient when it comes to coaches. Players, we will just destroy players, right? But we saw it in with Minnesota not calling a timeout over multiple long stretches when they should have. We saw how the Bucks ended their season with multiple opportunities to not call them.
Yeah.
We've seen these things happen. And look, Joe Mazzulla
still is a very good coach. He's still a young coach. So I'm not going to sit up here and kill. But that was very, very, very bad clock management by his team and by the coaching staff.
Perk, we hear you humming and hawing. What's up? What are your thoughts?
Well, because this wasn't like any other situation that we've seen in the postseason. This was completely different. Any other coach at the high school level, AAU level, know that if I got two timeouts with this much time on the clock and I'm down one, I'm going to use them. And I said this earlier. I don't know if he's taking them home and having them for dinner. Give me a filet mignon, a side of mashed potatoes, and two timeouts. I don't know what the hell is going on. But here's the thing, too, about the Celtics, right? If I'm the Celtics and I'm looking at the Boston and I'm looking at what just happened to the Milwaukee Bucks, I should be motivated even more as a team collectively. I don't see that sense of urgency from a team that dropped the ball in the finals last year that say they on a quote-unquote mission. I just don't see it. This is really troublesome watching this team play. And, like, we talk about Jaylen Brown leaving the corner. I get that, like, he's not supposed to do that, and he knows better. But let's talk about Jaylen Brown in the fourth quarter and in overtime only getting three shots when he actually was the best player on the floor and the most efficient for the Celtics. So I just don't understand it all in general. And the last thing, let me say this.
Please.
The assistant coaches matter. I said about Damon Stoudemire leaving. If Damon Stoudemire is on that bench, he jumps up and he goes up and hurry up and go run and tell Coach Mazzulla, time out. That's what assistant coaches do at the time. Because sometimes head coaches get caught up in the moment. But I'm done, though. Y'all can have it. I'm done.
I appreciate it. We'll see what adjustments Joe Mazzulla and his staff make for the next game now that the series is all tied up. But can I tell you guys something that made me smile this weekend? Over the last few months, we've chronicled the friendship, right, between James Harden and John Howe, a 20-year-old student who survived the shooting at Michigan State that killed three students and left five injured. Now, Howe, he was left paralyzed from the waist down, and the two connected while Howe was in the hospital. And Harden promised Howe that when he was well enough, he could come to a game. Well, that day, it was Sunday. The two, they shared a moment pregame, and then Howe was by Harden's side through his entire postgame, his interviews, everything. And Harden gifted Howe his game-worn shoes and so much more. Let's take a listen to James Harden.
He's my good luck charm. Just been keeping in contact with him. Obviously, like any of us in here, it's a tragedy like that to happen. You know what I mean? It's like it's a lot of nonsense that's going on in the world. So for him to be a victim of that is it's heartbreaking, you know what I mean? But he's strong, he's bouncing back, he's recovering very well, and I feel like it's my job to just give him that light, that smile that he deserves, that he needs, and hopefully, you know, today was one of those days where, you know what I mean, he's smiling, and that's all I'm here for.
Game six.
You gotta come back.
I don't know what you got going on, what your schedule is. Game six, you gotta be back here. Because you're the good luck charm, for real. I just kept thinking about it.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. Nah, like we talked about last time, every day, right?
Yeah.
Every day is an opportunity to get better, you know what I mean? Mentally, physically, all that. So just keep the right mindset. You know, I'm always praying for you and always got you if you need me. You know that?
Yeah.
What a moment. It's really been a privilege to witness their relationship. Coming up here on NBA Today, we have another Game 4 in Miami this time. Can the Knicks even up the series? We have the keys for both teams. That's coming up next as we head to South Beach. Biscayne, South Beach, both, either.
Miami Beach.
Yeah, call me about.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
So there are not only one, but there are two game fours on tonight's slate, the first of which is out in Miami as the Heat. They're looking to take a 3-1 series lead over the New York Knicks. Now, the Heat have won five straight games. When Jimmy Butler is in the lineup, he's averaging nearly 35 points per game, the most by any Eastern Conference player. So Mark Spears joins us once again. Mark, what are you looking at as the key to tonight's game?
Jimmy, don't call me playoff Jimmy Butler. Yes, I was at the game when he had 56 sitting next to Tom Joyner, the fly jock. You know who that is?
Yes, I saw him. I saw him in Miami over the weekend.
Got to say hi to him.
I did, of course. Okay. A legend.
He's the legend. Also, Jamal Mashburn, we saw him get 56.
Mash, yes.
And he keeps saying he's not playoff Jimmy, but he's only one of three players whose points, rebounds, assists, field goal percentage, and three-point percentage improve in the playoffs. Mm. Olajuwon and who? Robert Bob, playoff Bob Horry, right? He's one of those
Big
three guys.
Bob.
So he's averaging 34.4 in the postseason. That's more than Wade did. He's been incredible. I don't expect that to change. I saw him do this in the bubble. This is what he does. He doesn't like the nickname, but I'm going to call him playoff Jimmy.
He's earned it.
Well, for me, it's going to be the Nick bench. They got to figure out where they're going to get some scoring from. If there's no Quickly, right, and all of a sudden you start to look around, like we know Brunson's not 100% healthy. We know Randall's not 100% healthy, and now Quickly's out. So who is it? Because the Miami Heat, their bench has been stepping up again. Now they got Kyle Lowry coming off their bench, so they have guys. But if you don't start getting production, especially the way the Miami Heat, and we can keep saying, they're not going to keep shooting like that. Well, ask the Milwaukee Bucks that. They're not going to keep shooting like that. Well, ask
Atlanta Hawks
the Knicks that,
yeah,
right now that they're down 2-1. So, to me, it's about, can the Knicks get production from their bench? Is there somebody that's going to step up? Because we have seen that throughout all the different series. We saw it with Shamet in the Suns series.
Yep.
You just need one guy to give you a quarter.
Yeah.
We need one guy to give you a 5-6-7 minute stretch. We've seen it with the Lakers.
Yep.
We've seen it throughout these series. There's always someone on that bench that just gives you that quarter. And right now, I haven't seen it from anybody on the Knicks. And with Quickly out, they need someone.
Yeah, and obviously superstars win you championships, but I do think role players win you series. Mm. Having these key role players step up the way we've seen Miami Heat when people
those
saw.
Those are bars, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. Yeah, okay, that part. We'll leave it at that. Wait, where's the mic? Okay, let me drop it.
Okay, get to it.
Your key is?
Oh, my key is, yeah. I was just dropping bars. Mike, I agree with Richard. I think it's the bench and the depth and the role players have to show up because we're seeing, you know, heroics happen with Miami. You have to have the
heroics even without Tyler Hero.
Look at you.
Oh. All right, it's going to be interesting to see who is going to win that game, but also who is going to win the West.
This
scan.
Is a long
get your
shot.
Phone out. It's waiting for you to get your phone out, Shanae.
Oh, that's what it is.
Can, yeah, okay. See, you can show
thanks,
everyone how to send you. Get your phone out. You can scan the QR code and
I'm
let us know who is going to win the West. Still to come here on NBA Today, my friends. We took a fan poll. We asked, and the results, they are coming up. Who would you choose to take the last shot, though, Shanae?
Ooh.
Steph and LeBron.
You guys told me not to pick against LeBron last time. You pressured me, but it's the greatest shooter of all time, Steph.
I'm just proud she made a pick, to be honest with you. We'll be right back.
Made a pick because we told her not to pick the other one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So we're just hours away from Game 4 in Crypto.com Arena. And fans, they've witnessed Steph versus LeBron, those high-profile battles for the better part of a decade. And the latest chapter, it continues to unfold. But ESPN asked fans to take a closer look at this rivalry.
I want to be the best player in the league.
To be the best to ever play the game has motivated me.
LeBron James, Stephen Curry, the two most influential basketball players since Michael Jordan. Together, they've helped elevate and reshape the NBA in the 21st century.
He's got it!
James is now the all-time leading scorer.
The king wears the crown!
Curry is the best shooter ever. Both superstars are among the most popular hoopers ever, but as they face off for the fifth time in the playoffs, it's worth asking what exactly do fans prefer about each of these players. A brand new poll commissioned by ESPN helps us answer that exact question. Who would you rather start your team with, James or Curry? That's a tough choice, right? Well, 55% of fans said they would start their team with James. However, 54% of fans also said Curry was more likable. He's got such a nice smile, and who can't relate to moves like this?
That could be the greatest move I've ever seen. No, I'm being serious.
What about overall impact on and off the court? Both guys have changed the game, but still, over two-thirds of fans say that King James has made the largest positive impact on the NBA and basketball in general. And 62% say he's made bigger impacts in the community too. Okay, cool, but let's say a big game is on the line in crunch time. Who would you trust more with the ball? 53% of fans said Curry, probably because of shots like this. James is no slouch in the clutch. Just ask the Pacers. Or the Spurs. Or the Wizards. And finally, the billion-dollar question. Who is the better overall player? 65% gave the nod to the King. That's a landslide. And it's also evidence that while Curry has had a remarkable game-changing career, when it comes to the court of public opinion, LeBron James is still the king of the NBA.
Game 4, it goes down tonight. You can see the line that Caesars Sportsbook has set. Steph Curry's point total, 30.5. And then LeBron James, he is set at 26.5. Some sad news from the NBA community this weekend. Nick Gilbert, familiar to NBA fans as the Cleveland Cavaliers representative at the draft lottery, who both brought good luck and his signature bow tie. He died Saturday from a genetic condition. Nick, he's the son of Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert and wife Jennifer, and he had a lifelong battle with neurofibromatosis, which causes non-cancerous tumors to grow on the brain, the spinal cord, and the skin. There is no cure. Nick Gilbert was just 26 years old. Our condolences are with his family. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank, rooted in communities big and small.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So ahead of this huge Game 4 between the Lakers and the Warriors, we asked you, yes, you at home, who is going to win the West? Well, our viewers have spoken. They have, by a landslide, the Los Angeles Lakers winning the West.
Can I say something? Yes. All right. I appreciate you all for voting, but I feel like there's some inaccuracies that we need to point out.
Really?
If we could point out, who has the largest fan base here?
One of those two, but
Who has the second largest fan base here?
Here.
Who has the third largest fan base here?
Here.
Who has the fourth largest fan base here? Because you know what? That's probably a big indicator on our voting.
That's fair. Who would you take as the favorite?
I'm not going to count out the Warriors, but right now, in my opinion, even with the two games of Denver Nuggets,
I will say, Chinee, whoever comes out of the West is so lucky that they do not have to face this formidable team.
Oh.
Because 17 years ago today, the cover of ESPN magazine
cover boy.
With our own cover boy, Richard.
You know what?
I was nothing without LeBron. I was nothing. That's what they keep telling me. We were good, but we were kind of trash, too. We didn't end up.
That's going to do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow.